Chapter 24.
A Hot Pink Flash.
It was late 1967, and I'd not been in Nairobi long, before Alison, my father's second wife, took me to their prestigious club for the first time. The famous Muthaiga Country Club was a late 1960s African version of Club Med, the likes of which I'd not experienced before in either New Guinea or Australia. Though, I do acknowledge, I may have been moving in the wrong circles to experience such luxury. The Muthaiga Country Club was, for expatriates, the place to be seen at. My father's work with United Nations may have swung his membership because the club offered the perfect milieu for him to network within the Nairobi community and beyond. His Small Business Advisory Center, a project initiated by the International Labour Organization, was very new, so targeting influential people and inviting them to lunch at the club gave him the opportunity to talk up his project in posh surroundings. Considerable status came with membership, and my father loved it. And I loved it too, because members' families could access most of the facilities at any time. Of course, as a woman, I was excluded from the men's bar and the smoking room, areas for the male membership only. The other facilities were tennis courts, a croquet lawn, and a fancy swimming pool. For me, the latter was the most attractive drawcard of all, with its poolside bar and al fresco buffet. No money changed hands here. Instead, a chitty was signed for whatever was wanted. In my case, food and drinks, all beautifully presented and served. On my very first visit, I knew I'd found Shangri-La. The pool at the Muthaiga Country Club would be my salvation for the remainder of my stay. As my circle of friends grew, so did the need to avail myself of the club's facilities, particularly the pool, as it provided a means of returning hospitality for the numerous dinner and field trip invitations I'd accepted to out-of-the-way archaeological and wildlife sites in both Kenya and Tanzania. Casual entertaining at the club suited everyone, particularly my father and Alison, as the club's facilities removed the inconvenience of having to entertain my friends at their house. But I do remember two visitors made it through the Iron Curtain. On Saturday afternoon, my friend, Tim Jansen, arrived at the house, unannounced. He'd come to introduce his infant baboon to my father and Alison. Instantly, my father became rigid with concern, worried the baboon would get loose and create havoc, damaging his antique furniture, or the enormous carved Chinese living room carpet, or worse still, climb the pure silk curtains. As it turned out, his fears were unfounded, as Tim had the tiny baboon under control for the duration of their visit. At my mother's suggestion, I arrived in Nairobi with a very basic wardrobe. The wardrobe contained a fashionable one-piece brightly colored halter neck swimming costume and hot pink toweling swim wrap. Also, a couple of Marimekko print cotton shifts and the obligatory little black dress to wear for cocktail parties, but not much else. The underlying and not so subtle stratagem was that, if necessary, my father would need to add to my wardrobe at his expense. At the start, the swimming costume got a serious workout, as did the little black dress I wore to the seemingly endless drinks parties we were invited to attend. I managed to hold my own, in my stylish homemade number, worn with low-heeled black pumps. During the day, I visited the Muthaiga Club pool as often as possible, and became very tanned. So tanned, in fact, that my father told me if I got any browner, I'd not be permitted to wear my little black dress to future drinkies gatherings. As no explanation was given, I was left guessing about my father's motive. Maybe he was concerned his daughter would be mistaken for a mixed-race person? This assumption could damage the solid upper-middle-class image my father was keen to promote to his new circle of acquaintances. As Christmas approached, the Granger household moved into Yuletide celebration mode that included decorating the Christmas tree, followed by a round of festive gatherings. The culmination of which was to be an ever-so-posh New Year's Eve dinner party at the club. My little black dress was deemed unsuitable, so I suggested using Allison's sewing machine and my dressmaking skills to make a suitable evening gown for the event. My father agreed. So next morning we sourced a paper pattern for a modest full-length, princess-line dress, with short sleeves and a not-too-low round neckline. Both understated and demure, I figured this modest design would be acceptable for my father, and Allison, and the conservative Nairobi expatriates, who'd make up our party for the planned New Year's Eve dinner. Next, to decide on the fabric. My choice was Thai silk. Allison took me to a small Thai silk merchant's shopfront in downtown Nairobi, next door to the main entrance of the new Stanley Hotel, Nairobi's flashiest tourist haunt. My eyes were out on stalks. I was completely captivated by the bolts of silk, stacked to the ceiling by color, and it took me ages to make a decision. Hot pink. No. Emerald green? No. Aqua? No. Back to hot pink? After an age of vacillating, I finally decided on hot pink. We bought 4 yards of silk and 3 yards of taffeta lining. When my father returned from the office that evening, I found it difficult to contain my excitement. I waited until the sherry was poured, before I brought my fabric purchase to the living room for the reveal. I unwrapped the yards of hot pink silk, and draped it artistically over the back of the sofa, for viewing. But before I could exhale, out of nowhere came a surge of anger from my father. His reaction was apoplectic. Referring to the color, he bellowed, "What is it about the younger generation, always having to make a spectacle of themselves?" I was unable to reply, dumbstruck by his outburst. As the fabric couldn't be returned, it was with a heavy heart I began making the hot pink dress. The finished garment fitted perfectly, with a line of small covered buttons on the bodice, and a matching belt with covered buckle, that followed the princess line under the bust. Even so, as my parade had been so seriously rained upon, it was difficult for me to muster any enthusiasm for either the dress, or the planned Muthaiga Club gathering with a bunch of boring oldies. As New Year's Eve approached, I was filled with trepidation. I didn't want to go, but there was no way I could absent myself without raising eyebrows or ire, and I sensed the evening was going to be an ordeal. But when we arrived at the club, matters took an interesting, and totally unexpected turn. To my amazement, there were 6 or 7 other women wearing hot pink, and not one from my generation. A vindication of sorts. But sadly, as the result of the hot pink dress drama, the relationship with my father had been irreparably damaged. Some weeks later, I returned to Australia with a heavy heart, to begin my final year of study at the National Art School. In my suitcase was the neatly folded hot pink dress. And ever after, it was a reminder of my father's unconstrained disapproval. On reflection. My father and the little black dress incident. As I write, I wonder if my father's concern about my increasingly suntanned skin could have been because, in his circle of New Nairobi friends, my skin color may have suggested my birth mother was colored? As a result, this would reflect badly on his choice of first wife, in an era when fraternizing with the natives was frowned upon, particularly in countries colonized by whites, like Kenya and Papua New Guinea. The hot pink dress. This incident was one of a number of unexpected blow-ups I witnessed in the short time I spent with my father. I found the out-of-the-blueness of his outbursts mystifying, and as a result I became very wary of what I said and did around him. Over the years since the incident, I've come to wonder if it was my spontaneous teenage behavior that set him off? Possibly seemed to reflect badly on his reputation? I'll never know. Perhaps it was for the best that he left my mother and me when I was 9 years old? If he'd continued to be a major influence in my life, I may have been more seriously affected by his mercurial behavior. Out of Africa, the movie is based on the 1937 memoir of Karen Blixen, in which the Muthaiga Country Club features prominently. The movie, starring Meryl Streep and Robert Redford, is the definitive portrayal of British colonial life in East Africa, during and after World War I. I saw the movie for the first time at the Elgin Movie House in Scotland. Much to the surprise of the Scots seated nearby, I began to weep from the minute the movie started, as I was immediately taken back to my time in Kenya. The beautiful people, the amazing wildlife, and the dramatic landscape. Fortunately, that day I was wearing a voluminous silk scarf I could use to mop up the stream of copious tears that flowed right up until the credits rolled, and the house lights came up. Facts. The Muthaiga Country Club, Nairobi. Opened on New Year's Eve in 1913, and became a gathering place for the well-to-do British settlers in British East Africa, which became the colony of Kenya in 1920. During colonial times, author Caroline Elkins describes the club as the Moulin Rouge of Africa, where the elite drank champagne and pink gin for breakfast, played cards, danced through the night, and generally woke up with someone else's spouse in the morning. Today, the club is frequented by the elite of Kenyan society.